ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Now boys, don't speak until spoken. I will let you know when you can ask questions. Otherwise, do not interrupt. Do you understand? Yes. When I ask for questions, then you will ask questions. You're not listening already. All right. We are studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, which is entitled Creation, chapter number 2, Divinity and Divine Service. We're on text number 19. If you're ready to proceed, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please repeat. Tada Rajastamo Bhava. Kama lobhadayaschaye.
Kama lobhadayaschaye.
Cheta etair anavidham.
Cheta etair anavidham.
Stittang satvate prasidati.
Stittang satvate prasidati.
I made a mistake, so I have to do it again. Stittang satve prasidati. So far, your Sanskrit is good. Please repeat. Tada.
Tada.
At that time.
At that time.
Raja.
Raja.
In the mode of passion.
In the mode of passion.
Tama.
Tama.
The mode of ignorance.
The mode of ignorance.
Bhava.
Bhava.
The situation.
The situation.
Kama.
Kama.
Lust and desire.
Lust and desire.
Lobha.
Hankering.
Adayaha.
Adayaha.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
Yay.
Whatever they are.
Whatever they are.
Cheta.
Cheta.
The mind.
The mind.
Etai.
Etai.
By these.
By these. Anavidam.
Anavidam.
Without being affected.
Stittam,
stittam,
being fixed.
Being fixed.
Satve,
satve,
in the mode of goodness.
In the mode of goodness.
Prasidati,
prasidati,
thus becomes fully satisfied.
Thus becomes fully satisfied.
So, my first question to the boys. Look at the synonyms. There were 3 different modes. What are the 3 different modes mentioned in the synonyms? What? Well, give me one.
Goodness.
Good.
Ignorance.
And what's the third one?
Passion.
Very good. You have passed your test. Let us go now to the translation. Please repeat. As soon as irrevocable loving service,
as soon as irrevocable loving service,
is established in the heart,
is established in the heart,
the effects of nature's modes,
the effects of nature's modes,
of passion and ignorance,
of passion and ignorance,
such as lust,
such as lust,
desire and hankering,
desire,
disappear from the heart.
Disappear from the heart.
Then the devotee is established in goodness.
Then the devotee is established in goodness.
And he becomes completely happy.
And he becomes completely happy.
So, this verse is answering the question, how does one become happy? So, first of all, in order for someone to be happy, they have to become free from the modes of passion and ignorance. Just as you and you, on Friday, are going to make vows. Those four vows, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling. If you are able to follow those four, you are situated in the mode of goodness. Just by following those four, you're in the mode of goodness. You're above the modes of passion and ignorance. Now, on top of that, you're going to be chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. So now you can begin to transcend and go to the spiritual plane. The step that you are taking on Friday is the most important step of your life. This, as we say in the sports jargon, game changer. Everything changes from this point. There's no going back. There's no undoing it. Once you make those vows, that's it. Can't go back. You can't say, well, no. So you have the next 2-3 days to really think about what you're doing. Did you answer the 13 questions?
Yes, Prabhu.
Good.
Before it's Omkara, but that was separate, and then Tukaram contacted me, that was separate.
But you...
We had the answer.
Huh?
We didn't get the answer from Omkara, Prabhu.
But you answered them?
Yeah. We already...
So now you know what you're doing. After the class, I will go over with you quickly.
Please.
The 13 questions.
Please.
I saw the answer sheet.
Whose answer sheet?
Bhakti Vikas Swami.
Okay. So you saw his answers.
Yeah. But the catch was Omkara said you need to quote the Shastra where you get your answers from. And he gave us the open.
Yes, that's his thing. I never required that when I did it. That's his thing. So you saw the answers from Bhakti Vikas.
Yeah, so I knew what I was kind of looking for.
Okay, that suffices. So you know what you're doing, both of you. Okay, that's the whole idea, that you know what you're doing. Okay.
Well, Prabhuji, is there something that, like, what do you mean, like, you know what you're doing?
It's very simple. You should know what you are doing.
You mean in terms of the vows?
Those 13 questions, if you went through them and you were honest, now you know what you are doing.
I see.
Oh. Right.
There should be no confusion now, no doubt. Those 13 questions are designed so that you know what you are signing up for. So that years from now, you cannot come back to me or to Tukaram or to Subhas or to anyone and say, well, you know what? I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
Now you are making a decision. So now, once you make that decision, that's it. You should know what you're signing up for. All right. Let us look at the purport. A living being in his or her normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta, or Atma Nandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material stage of existence. The stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the disease activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or Shuddhasattva. Only in this Shuddhasattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness. Therefore, he or she harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he or she may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Satvang vishuddham vasudeva shabditam yad iyate tatra puman apavrita satve chatasmin bhagavan vasudevo yadoksajo me namasa dhi yate. Just listen. That's all. Now, this verse is Lord Shiva talking to his wife at that time, who's known as Sati, the daughter of Daksha. This is after Daksha blasphemed and criticized Lord Shiva in an assembly where there was a big sacrifice. Daksha gave his daughter to Lord Shiva on the instruction of Lord Brahma. But Daksha never liked Lord Shiva. Daksha is an aristocratic Brahmin, and Lord Shiva is always dressed very, very poorly. So from the external view, Daksha, who is aristocratic, doesn't like the idea that his pet, and it was his pet daughter. Daksha had several daughters, and she was the youngest and his favorite. And Brahma told him, you should give her to Lord, and he never liked it, because he sees Lord Shiva externally. So after that incident, Shiva and Sati are talking, and this is what one of the things Shiva says to sati. What does he say? Read along. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva. Boys, who is Lord Vasudeva?
Vishnu.
Excellent. So what is Lord Shiva telling his wife? I'm always what? Offering obeisances to Lord Krishna. And then he says, in pure Krishna consciousness. In other words, there is no material desire for Lord Shiva. He continues, Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, is revealed without any covering. So this verse is proof of a very famous statement which appears in the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Of all the followers of Lord Vishnu, Shiva is number one. And here you see why. He's always offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev. Now, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana Sarvair Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura Harav Bhaktasya Kto Mahad Guna Manoratena Sati Dhavato Bahi. So, this statement, I believe, is by Bali Maharaj. And it says, all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? All right, so the word prasidati means to become fully satisfied. For instance, when your mother makes nice food, you eat to your full satisfaction. When you're full, that means you're satisfied. We say that in the prasadam prayer. And we honor this prasadam to our full satisfaction. The word outward dress refers to somebody can be disguised to look good, but actually is evil. In other words, somebody is a businessman. He wears a nice suit. He has nice haircut. But even though he looks nice, what is in his mind? He is coming to cheat. You understand? So in the material world, you do not go necessarily by outward appearance or outward dress. You have to look towards the actual person. In the case of Daksha and Shiva, yes, externally, outward dress, Lord Shiva looks like a homeless person. But Daksha was unable to see behind the dress who is this great personality. He's the greatest devotee of them all. Or I'll give you another example. Shurpanakha. You don't know who is Shurpanakha?
You do.
Shurpanakha. Ishan, you know, right?
Let me give you a hint. Ramayan.
So, Shurpanakha.
Oh, yeah.
Shurpanakha was who?
Ravan's
sister. Listen. So she was a Rakshasi. She was actually very evil and ugly. But when she approached Ram, she made herself look like a beautiful woman. So outwardly she looked like, oh, very nice. But Ram knew. Same way with Krishna. Putana was also a Rakshasi. But in order to try to kill Krishna, she made herself look like the goddess of fortune. And that's why she was able to walk into the house and nobody checked her because they were looking at the outward dress. And when she said, I want to feed baby Krishna, they thought, oh, Lakshmi has come to feed baby Krishna. But Krishna knew who she was. Krishna was not fooled by the outward dress. In fact, Krishna did not want to look at her because she was so sinful. Therefore, Krishna closed his eyes. He did not want to look because even though she looked like Lakshmi, Krishna knew this woman has killed many, many babies. She's evil. So Krishna closed his eyes. He didn't want to look at her. So, things don't go by how things look. Study something and see what something actually is. That's the lesson to be learned. Rakshasis and demons are superior to human beings in their abilities. So like demigods, Rakshasas and powerful demons also have mystic powers by which they can transform themselves into different forms. Do you understand? Yes. That is cool.
And some people in this world have that.
Well, on human beings, people can make disguises by different tricks, like actors. When an actor plays a certain role in the movie, with makeup and different costumes, you can make somebody young look very old. You understand?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what they do.
So they're white.
Yes, they can make somebody's hairs white. Yes, very good. Evang prasanna manaso. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogata.
Bhagavat
Tattva Vijnanam. Mukta Sangasya Jayate.
Evam.
Thus. Prasanna. Enlivened.
Manasa.
Of the mind.
Bhagavat Bhakti.
The devotional service of the Lord. Yogataha. By contact of.
Bhagavat.
Regarding the personality of Godhead. Tattva. Knowledge. Vijnanam. Scientific. Mukta.
Liberated.
Sangasya, of the association. Jayate, becomes effective. Please repeat. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness.
The man whose mind
has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord,
gains positive scientific knowledge,
of the personality of Godhead. In the stage of liberation. From all material association. So this word enlivened. Later, years from now, when you become second initiated, when you become initiated brahmanas, you will chant mantras, Gayatri mantras, 7. And in some of them, you will see this word, prachodayat, to become enthused, to become enlivened. That is a very important item in spiritual life. Because if you're not enthused, if you're not enlivened, then you are susceptible to falling down. So it is important that you learn quickly how to remain self-enlivened. For instance, what do you do to become enlivened in spiritual life? Come on, you already told me several times.
What's the meaning of
devotee association?
No. No. What do you like to do? You like to read Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how you become enlivened. That's how you become enthused. You told me that. How do I become enthused and enlivened? What is the only thing I want to do? That's right. That's how I become enlivened. So, find that thing which enlivens you and don't give it up. Because you have to stay enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Here is what's going to happen. After the initiation, you are going to feel a lot different. Different like you never felt before in your lives. You get a special bonus from Lord Chaitanya upon receiving initiation. You're going to feel completely different. And that feeling will stay for some time. But if you do not practice seriously, if you start to take things for granted, and you do not follow strictly, you will begin to lose that euphoria. So it is important that you remain enlivened. So find what makes you enlivened and always go to that. Enlivened means you're always alive and enthused and looking forward. Now, this verse reminds us of something we already learned in this chapter. We learned in this chapter that by doing devotional service, two things automatically occur. What were the two things that automatically occur by devotional service? No.
Shanti?
No. What were the two concomitant benefits from devotional service? We already studied this.
Like it says liberation from
material. No. That means, alright. Find this verse. You get knowledge and detachment. You don't remember that? How come I remember it? So by rendering devotional service, what are the two things you get? Knowledge and detachment. Now, here, you're also going to get positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Later in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada answers a question. I believe it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's Lord Chaitanya. And the question is, how does somebody know that they have received the mercy of the Lord? And Lord Chaitanya's answer is, knowledge of the personality of Godhead is the proof that you have the Lord's mercy. Knowledge of the personality of Godhead. In other words, to the extent that you understand God, that is the extent of God's blessing upon you. So, knowledge of God means knowledge of His name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, everything in relationship to God. The more knowledge of that you have means that you have been blessed by God. And if you've not been blessed by God, then you don't know anything. For instance, I have met young Indian children, and I asked them, young, like younger than them, who is Sita? Who? What? Huh? Yes, shocking.
You guys know who is Sita?
Yes.
But there are Indian children, they don't know anything about who is Krishna, who is Ram. They're completely ignorant. But they know about Mickey Mouse. So they don't have God's mercy, even though they're born in Indian families. Anyone born in an Indian family should at least know who is Krishna, who is Ram. That much they should know. Like that. So the more you know about Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, associates, everything, the more you know, that means you have received God's mercy. Knowledge of God is that you know. Like some people would answer, no, blessings of God means I'm living in this nice house. Many people think like that. I'm living in this nice house. I have been blessed by the God. But according to Lord Chaitanya, no. You've been blessed by Maya. You want blessings of God. How much do you know about the science of God? So, you have been reading Shikshastakam every day?
Yes.
At least the first three, at least. But you've been doing all eight?
Yes.
Okay. So the first Shikshastakam prayer says, Vidyavadhu Jivanam. This chanting is the life and soul of transcendental knowledge. That means it's not simply academic. That's what you're missing. It's not a question of academic. It's a question of realization, appreciation, and that you get from So I have to drive out of you any kind of notion that you can replace japa, especially now that you're going to take a vow to chant 16 rounds every day. I don't ever want to hear again any kind of notion that japa can be replaced with reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, when I come on Friday, I am going to make a scene. And you don't want that, do you? Thank you. So let this be the last time that this notion comes up. It is the life and soul of all transcendental knowledge. It's not a question. Look, there are people who are not devotees who can quote Bhagavad Gita, but it's meaningless. It's not a question of academic scholarship. What have you realized? What do you actually relish and appreciate? That's what we're talking about. Seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu gives an excellent pravachan. Excellent. But it doesn't mean anything because he doesn't believe a word he's saying, but he can deliver an expert class. It's right there in seventh canto. He knew. So that's not a question of scholarship. It's a question of devotion. It's a question of appreciation and relishing. Do you have a question? And I'm sure if you've ever listened to me, I've always said the chanting encourages you to read. And the more you read, the more you want to chant. And the more you chant, the more you want. So one feeds the other. And that's how it is. One feeds the other. Okay? In other words, this is on you now. Okay? I had nothing to do with this. You're the ones who are doing this. So you can't come back to me. This is all you. You have 3 days now. Think about it. I don't want to hear nothing afterwards. This is all your decisions. Got nothing to do with me. Okay? Let's look at the purport. In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, 1855, it is also said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. Boys, what you just read, listen now, listen carefully. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. Where do you find that? Yes! You passed again your examination. That's the what?
You're not the body.
Yes, but it's what? The first what?
Chapter.
First chapter?
Canto.
No! The first lesson of transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, right? Didn't I have you memorize that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now Prabhupada is saying it a little differently. Yes. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance. Or in other words, when one is actually a brahmana by qualification. A brahmana is the symbol of sattva guna, or the mode of goodness. And others who are not in the mode of goodness are either kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, or less than shudras. The brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a brahmana. The devotee is already a brahmana by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul, because although in the brahminical stage, the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead, Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men, or men with a poor fund of knowledge, do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a brahmana. When a qualified brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava, in the enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. So the word whim means feelings. I'm doing something simply because I feel like it. That cannot be spiritual life. For instance, after initiation, after some time, you are going to come to a day, one day, when you don't feel like chanting. Yes, that day will come. Listen. I've been talking about this. The day will come. Could be month, could be years. A day will come and you won't feel like chanting. Now, if you act according to your whim, then because you don't feel like it, you won't do it. Vow means whether I like it or don't like it, whether I feel like it or not feel like it, I have to still do it. That's the meaning of vow. I may not feel like it, tough. Otherwise, don't take the vow. That's why I'm saying all night long here, make sure you know what you're signing up for. That you're going to have to chant on days when you don't feel like it. And I don't want to hear no moaning and whining. No. I don't care that you don't feel like it. You have to do your vows. Four regulative principles, 16 rounds. Okay? Yeah. Qualification means that you have the abilities, the knowledge, and the practice to do a certain job. Like your father. Your father was trained. in a certain job. And because of that training, and he passed various examinations, he is now qualified to do that job. For instance, my job. Are you paying attention? My job as preacher. I have to chant, I have to study, and I also have to have some realization. Otherwise, I'm not qualified to do the work. When you go for a job, later on when you get older and you apply for a job, they're going to want to see your qualifications. You will present, these are my college transcripts. Here are my references. And then you'll have to go for an interview. And they'll want to see from you why they should hire you. Because for the job, there may be 100 people like you who want that job. And you, and maybe they're only going to take 5 people. So you have to show out of 100 people that you are qualified to do that job. Welcome to the material world. Once upon a time, Srila Vyasadeva was with the Pandavas, and Bhima, Vrikodar, said to Vyasadeva, "Inside me, I have this great hunger. I have to eat to my full satisfaction." Vyasadeva was explaining how it is mandatory that one fast on Ekadashi. And Bhima said, "For me, it is impossible. My stomach, I have to eat. I can't follow Ekadashi. What can I do?" Because Vyasadeva was saying, if you don't follow Ekadashi, you can't go to heaven, you can't get liberated. And Bhima was saying, I can't do it. That means I can't go to heaven, I can't get liberated. Isn't there something? So Vyasadeva said, yes. There's one Ekadashi that comes every year. And if you strictly follow that Ekadashi, that's as good as following all the 24 Ekadashis that happen, because there's 2 every year. One in the dark moon phase, one in the light moon phase. So Vyasadeva said, you follow this one Ekadashi, Nirjala, and you follow it completely, that's as good as following all 24 Ekadashis. Now I will tell about Panihati festival. Pay attention. So, there was a very, 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 very nice boy, Raghunath. And he came from one of the most wealthiest families in India at that time. So rich. And he had a beautiful, beautiful wife. And he lived with his parents and his wife. But this boy, Raghunath, he wasn't interested in material life. And when he found out about Lord Chaitanya, he decided, oh, I want to leave my family. I just want to be with Lord Chaitanya. So he ran away from home to be with Lord Chaitanya. But his father sent men, go bring my son back. So they would get him and bring him home. But after some time, he would run away. And his father would send men and they would bring him. This kept going on and on and on and on and on. And father was getting very worried. What can we do? We've already given him this most beautiful wife. If that can't keep him, I don't know what we're going to do. So, one day, this Raghunath met Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda said, I want to have a festival. I want to feed everybody, all the devotees and Brahmins. I want them to have this chipped rice festival. So Raghunath said, yes, I will help with the money. So Nityananda sat down and all of his associates, and everybody had two pots. And the pots had milk and I think yogurt with rice. And everybody was surrounding Lord Nityananda. And everybody was from miles, and if there was no room, some people were sitting in the river. Everybody wanted their two pots of chipped rice. And Lord Nityananda, by meditation, he was able to bring Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was there, invisible. And Nityananda was taking from everybody's pot and feeding Lord Chaitanya from everybody's pot. So Lord Nityananda blessed Raghunath that, yes, thank you very much. You have satisfied me. So Lord Nityananda blessed Raghunath. And because of that blessing, the next time Raghunath escaped, he was actually saved by Lord Chaitanya. He took sannyas, and there was nothing his father could do. He escaped in such a way that it was too late for the father to go and bring it. He had already taken sannyas. He finally did it because he got the blessings of Lord Nityananda. Now, you all know Sri Devi.
Yes,
she is getting initiated.
Yes,
she is a great worshiper of Lord Nityananda.
Right.
Okay?
The one who first taking initiation, like, you know, on guard, then you...
Yes.